Our gospel story from St. Mark is about Jesus having a discussion with the disciples. They are coming back home, and the disciples are having an argument. They're arguing about who is the greatest. When I was growing up, I had to share my parents with my little brother, whose name is Bob. And sometimes there would be sibling rivalry. Sometimes I would get jealous of the attention that my parents were paying to him, and I'd bop him one. I don't know if you've ever experienced that yourself, if you have. Sometimes we're the one who's doing the bopping, and sometimes we get a bop back. But it's pretty common to experience sibling rivalry, especially if you have siblings, or if you look after siblings. And it's kind of a sign of immaturity when people are arguing about who's the best, who's the greatest, who does mommy love more, who does daddy like best. It's all a sign of immaturity. And so Jesus confronts the disciples, what are you arguing about? And they don't say anything because they're embarrassed, I think. So instead of lecturing them about being immature and the silliness of arguing about who's greatest, Jesus responds with a lesson about what greatness truly means. He says this, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." The word for servant here in the Greek is diakonos. And a diakonos was a meal server, someone who would serve a meal, make sure everyone else was served first, and then the diakonos would eat last. And we get the word deacon from the same root. And not surprisingly, Liz's ministry has to do with serving food. And she often eats last, I think, with the staff. It's a ministry of servanthood. And so Jesus tells us that greatness, true greatness, comes from servanthood, from diakonos, diakonia, service. Yesterday, I spent the day in a diocesan council meeting, and one of the presentations we had was from Father Matthew, who does street ministry based at St. James Church, which is right in the downtown east side. It's called the Street Outreach Initiative. And Father Matthew has been doing that coming on 14 years. When the program was starting, the people who wanted it to happen were looking for someone, a priest, who would be willing to go out on the streets and encounter the anger and resentment people had against the church. That's what they were looking for in a person. It would take quite an uncommon kind of priest to say, "I'll do that." And so Matthew did that, going out on the street, interacting with people, wearing his collar, getting to know people in the neighborhood. I asked him, "How often did you encounter anger and resentment against the church?" And he said, surprisingly, not that often. And he thought some of the people who would be angriest toward the church were actually the most gracious to him. Father Matthew's ministry is a ministry of presence on the streets of the downtown east side. It's a very tough place to be, I think. There's a lot of people in a lot of pain. One of the things that is a reality in the downtown east side is the problems caused by addiction. Father Matthew explained that trauma, personal trauma, is often a key factor, a key predictor in addiction. When people self-medicate because of the pain they feel, it turns into an addiction. And so through his experience as a street priest, he realized that there are people who need some help with trauma, understanding the impact that trauma has in their lives, the way that it affects their self-image and self-esteem, their decision-making. And so they developed a program around trauma, helping people to understand trauma and its impact. They offered courses, provided resources, and it's been very successful. There's been a lot of people who have participated in that trauma education process. Father Matthew came to a point about a year ago where he was wondering if he'd perhaps done enough. Maybe it was time to move on to a new ministry, a new opportunity. And so he began a period of prayerful reflection involving him and the other members of his team, wondering what are the next steps? What is God calling us to do here? And after this time of prayerful reflection, they came to a realization that what they can offer to people in the downtown East Side is a deeper relationship with God, using the tradition of Christian mystics, Christian spirituality, to help people go deeper in the relationship with God. And so they are beginning a program of spiritual formation, offering tools and practices of the Christian tradition. Practices like praying the rosary, practices like doing the offices, practices like centering prayer. Helping people to develop a closer, life-affirming, life-sustaining relationship with God. And so he's begun the third chapter of his ministry in the downtown East Side. Father Matthew's example shows us what servant ministry is all about. It begins with the willingness to be vulnerable and simply to listen to people, to go out on the street, get to know people, listen to their stories, then responding to needs, not every need, but the need that they can do something about. And in this case, they wanted to do something around trauma. And then prayerful discernment about next steps. What is God's call? What is God's call? And I think that's a wonderful model of servant ministry available to us, to begin with vulnerability and listening, to respond to need, and to engage in prayerful discernment, always asking, what is God's call? Back to our passage from Mark, it includes with a dialogue between the disciples and Jesus, when Jesus embraces a child in their midst, gives the child a hug, and says, whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me. Jesus reaches out to the person in the room who is of the lowest status, the most vulnerable, and embraces that child and says, this is what we do to be great. We embrace those who are amongst the weakest and the most vulnerable. Children have a wonderful openness. When we have children to attend to the Sunday story, I always enjoy it because the children are so open to hearing a story from the Bible. They're so open to hearing a story about Jesus. They have an openness, a sense of wonder, that often as adults we leave behind because we think it's too childish. But Jesus reminds us to value those capacities of wonder and openness, of curiosity. Children are also vulnerable. They're not yet fully grown. They can make mistakes. People can take advantage of them. And so we protect and care for them. We protect and care for our children because we love them. Jesus' invitation is for us to be an accepting community where all can belong. All can be trusting and open and risk being vulnerable with each other. A community where we keep each other safe. We look after each other and love each other. Well, let us now be servants. Let us choose to be vulnerable. Let us choose to listen carefully to each other. Let us respond in love. And let us always prayerfully ask God, what's next? What's next? Amen.